Let's talk poker here. Greg Raymer's on the phone. He's the guy who has beaten more people in the World Series of Poker than anybody else in history. 2 years ago, he bested 2,500-odd contestants or entrants in the main event of the World Series of Poker, took down the title and the bracelet as the world champion of poker. And then last year, when there were 5,700 people in there, he came in 25th, nearly a repeat, which in these days is almost unheard of. Now he's playing again. And there are, let me see if I have the numbers right here, 8,532 players. And after completing just day one, they had to do four different day ones because they have so many people in it. Greg is currently in 35th place in the chip count. He's on the phone with us live from Las Vegas, where he probably just woke up minutes ago, considering they played until 3 a.m. Vegas time, which is 5 o'clock our time here in the Midwest. Here's the Parkway South graduate, Greg Fosselman Raymer. Hi.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
I'm doing okay. Are you recovered from the long day of yesterday?
It was a pretty tough day, but I'm fine now. I got about 6 or 7 hours of sleep. So.
And you don't have to play today, right?
No. Like you said, we have four day ones. So days 1, A, B, C, and D. I was day 1, C. And so the final day 1 is going on right now. Tomorrow is day 2 for the day 1, A and 1, B people, so I won't be playing tomorrow either, and then on Wednesday I'll be back in play.
Now, how is that when you're doing a tournament and you're on and then you're off and then you're on and then you're off? Is it good because you can rest up or bad because it breaks the concentration?
Well, the length of day we played yesterday, it's good to get the day off. Normally, historically, you play 5 levels of 2 hours each in the main event, but they had a schedule for 6 levels, 12 hours of play. So we started at noon, and you're going to play till midnight, except you also have bathroom breaks and a dinner break and stuff like that, so it ends up lasting till 3 a.m. Vegas time.
15 straight hours. Wow.
Yeah, 15 hours with some breaks, but yeah.
By the way, speaking of the breaks, how were they? Because last year when you were out there and we talked, you told me that getting to the bathroom during the breaks was nearly impossible.
No, that's still a big challenge. And on the last bathroom break last night, actually, a whole bunch of the bathrooms were temporarily closed out of service.
Oh.
So it was quite a challenge on that particular break. But, yeah, it is actually it's an issue for me. I mean, for everyone else, it's walk out there, stand in line, you know, take care of things, you know, and go back in, and you've got enough time. But, you know, it can take me 10 minutes just to get to the back of the line because of the numerous requests for photos and autographs.
Yeah. If you hadn't won that thing a couple years ago and scooped up your $5 million, you'd be in and out of the bathroom like that.
That's right. I mean, I'm paying the price.
I checked your chip count. You're at 49,000 or so, just under 49,000. Everybody starts out with 10 grand, which is the buy-in. Is 49,000 where you want it to be at the end of day one?
Well, my philosophy on poker is you don't set goals in terms of, like, chip counts or anything like that. I think the players that set those kind of goals, that I want to reach a certain number, or I want to make sure I get to the dinner break, I want to make sure I make it to day two, I think they end up hurting themselves a lot more than they ever help. Because then what happens is it gets to be near the time to achieve a goal, and then they play a hand badly because it's the only way they can achieve the goal. So if they say to themselves, I need to have 30,000 chips at the end of day one, that's the average stack. They're sitting there with 20,000 chips, and they see that there's only 20 minutes left to go, and now someone raises, and they call the raise with a hand they would usually not play in that situation, but they figure it's their only chance to reach the goal.
Yep.
And that goal is meaningless. I mean, does it really matter if you reach 30,000 in the next half hour, or if it takes you 45 minutes and you don't reach that goal until, you know, 15 minutes into day two? There's really no difference. And so when people set these artificial goals, they just are hurting themselves. You know, if you're at work in an office, you can set those kind of goals that I'm going to get this report done by Thursday, because you're actually accomplishing something and you're not necessarily hurting yourself. But even then, you know, people do things like they blow off another project that just popped up that was more important than the one they had previously set as their goal. So you got to be careful with those intermediate goals.
Was there a point at all in day one yesterday where you had it all in there with the worst of it and had to catch cards?
There was, and I'm sad that I had to do that, but I ended up having not much choice. And
were you short stacked at the time?
I was short stacked all day. We played 12 hours, 6 levels, and for the first 5 levels, I spent almost all of my time between about 5 and 9,000 chips, and started with 10,000. and I was getting rivered repeatedly. I lost a huge pot to a very nice lady who wanted to fold her hand and screwed up.
What does that mean?
Well,
she turned her cards up and they played?
You know, six of us had seen the flop, and I bet, and she called. And then I bet $2,500 after the turn card was dealt. And she thought for a long time, and then she put 1,500 chips forward to call. She thought I had bet 1,500. And the floor man was actually standing right there watching and informed her that, you know, that wasn't the correct amount. Then she tried to take the 1,500 back and fold, which is what they would typically allow you to do in most cash games in the casinos. It's like, oh, I didn't realize the bet was 2,500, so I take my 15 back and fold. But in the tournament, you're not allowed to do that. Once you put the money in the pot, it must stay there.
Mm.
So she was told that she can't fold unless she wants to give up the 1,500. And then she said, well, in that case, I'll go all in for a raise of 5,500. And the floor man then told her, no, you can't do that either. You can fold and lose the 1,500, or you can put in 1,000 more and call the 2,500. Those are your only options. So she called the 2,500. The river was a bad card. It made a straight possible, and I was concerned that she might have made the straight. It was the only hand I thought she could possibly have to beat me, and I had two pair at this point. I checked, and she then quickly went all in, and I eventually called her, and she had made the gut shot straight, which she only had three cards in the deck that she
could.
So in a hand where she wanted to fold, she was forced to call, and then she caught three outs in the deck to win the pot. And it was like a $20,000 pot, which left me with about $7,000 after the hand was over.
Oh, man.
So that was a very frustrating hand. But then fortunately, level six, I had the all-in, where I was all-in with the worst of it. I was about a 4-to-1 dog. I only had about a 20% chance of winning this pot, and I caught my card to win on the river. And a little while later, I got it all-in after the flop when I was behind someone's pair of aces, and I made two pair. That hand wouldn't have knocked me out, but it would have put me back to a short stack. And then I made several other big hands and finished the day with almost $50,000.
So you're feeling okay today?
Oh, yeah, I'm feeling 100 times better than I did for those first 10 hours.
I bet. Now, for those of us who've only seen this on TV, on ESPN, and have never actually been there, it's a huge room with, what, 200 poker tables in it?
Actually, a little more than 200.
Wow. Are you aware from your table what else is going on in the room? Do you know where the other famous poker players are sitting and when they go out or when they have great hands?
I mean, if you choose to, you could get up from your table in between hands and walk around and watch some stuff, but I think that would be a mistake because, you know, who cares what's going on at another table? It has no impact on your decisions at your table. So you're better off staying at your table and focusing on your nine opponents so that when you fold, you watch, you know, two or three of these other guys play against each other. Start trying to pick up some tells so that you can use those tells against them when they play a hand with you.
How about celebrities? You run into any?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you are a celebrity, so you know.
Louis Anderson, he's playing on Team Poker Stars this year. And he and I were together at the Poker Stars booth in the Lifestyle World Series of Poker Lifestyle Expo chatting, and he's a very nice guy.
Mm-hmm.
Norm MacDonald is playing on Team Poker Stars, and I had a long chat with him in the Poker Stars suite a few days ago. He was chip leader temporarily.
Norm MacDonald was chip leader?
He was chip leader on his day one. For a while, and then he lost a huge pot when his aces got beat and ended up going broke before the day was over.
I hear Brad Garrett's out there.
Halfway through day one, Norm MacDonald was chip leader of the day.
Wow. Speaking of comedians, I hear Brad Garrett's out there and making a lot of noise.
Brad Garrett's out there. I think he got an F-bomb penalty. You use the F-word, you get a 10-minute penalty. Anderson both got F-bomb penalties.
Wow.
That's what we should have in radio instead of the $325,000 fine. 10-minute penalty or 20-minute penalty. I'm sorry, you can't do the next 10 minutes of your show. And then you come back and you continue playing.
You know, if you guys let me make the rules, I won't even give you a penalty of any sort.
Oh, that's nice. I appreciate that.
I'm so amazed because I told Paul sitting down in the studio minutes ago that I know nothing about poker. And as I listen to you speak, I'm catching maybe 15% of it.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know everything about the game at this point in your game? Do you know everything? Because it seems like the woman you played with, she didn't know. And she's gotten to this level, and she didn't know a critical part of this particular tournament.
Well, Well, it's not that she didn't know. It's that she made a mistake. She just literally, for some reason, her eyes fooled her. She didn't see.
Hmm.
I put out two chips, yellow chips that were $1,000 each and a pink chip for $500. And there was a little bit like the pink and one of the yellows were right next to each other. And then the next yellow chip was like an inch and a half away.
Hmm. Okay.
When I had tossed them out. And for some reason, her brain just missed that other yellow chip and she thought it was $1,500. So it's the kind of mistake that anyone can make, and it's not because she lacked comprehension of the game.
But your comprehension of the game is just...
The man's a pro.
Yeah.
A couple of years ago, he was a professional accountant, and now he's a professional poker player.
I mean, I've been working hard at my poker game and trying to become a better player for 14 years. So, you know, I would hope that I'd be at least a pretty good player if I'm going to put 14 years of it.
Yeah,
I would think so. Talking with Greg Fosselman Raymer out at the World Series of Poker here on the Paul Harris Show on News Talk 1120 KMOX. I was reading some of the online stuff. That's how I knew what your chip count was and how you had done yesterday. And I hear that there's a guy who, to pass the time during the tournament, has been watching every Rocky movie in order on a portable DVD player.
Oh, that's news to me. I didn't know about that.
And there's another guy who bought some huge 700-page book and is sitting there reading. He's not paying much attention to the action. That's a bad move, isn't it?
Well, you know, I'm not sure what's in these people's minds, to be honest. You know, you either won or you paid $10,000 to get in this tournament.
Yep.
And but many people... you know, like you said, we have like 8,500 players in this event, and many, many of them, this is their first time... And many of those people have this attitude that I can't win, and heck, I can't even expect to make the money, you know, and win something. So it's like I'm here for the experience. You know, I got into a $3 satellite on PokerStars. I played in a free roll tournament, you know, and I won my seat for next to nothing. So I'm just here to have fun, to play, and to play with these people I see on TV.
Which may explain the guy dressed up as a nun.
Which, you know, so, and then some of them, either because someone's paying them for advertising value or just because they're odd characters, they do stuff like this to get attention. They like, hey, you know, ESPN will come film me. I'll get on TV. You know, that's better than nothing, right? I'm not going to win any money anyways. I might as well get myself on TV. So I tell my friends, you know, hey, you know, watch the World Series tomorrow night. You get to see me in my monkey costume.
Is there always an ESPN camera over your shoulder now, Greg?
I had the camera crew at my table most of the day. At the beginning of the day, they have a feature table every day.
Mm-hmm.
And they had Mike Matisau at the feature table. And then they have, like, roving camera crews that go out and follow some of the more well-known players or just look for interesting situations. And so one of those camera crews spent much of the day hovering around my table, especially at the end of the night. The last few levels when the feature table had been turned off and no one was playing there anymore. So don't know how many of the hands that I played will make it to the ESPN TV show, but I would guess that the hand that I described against this lady where she wanted to fold will be there. I'm not sure if the cameras were picking it up at the point in time when she wanted to fold or not.
Oh, I'm sure Norman Chad will have something to say about it anyway.
I mean, that's the interesting part of the hand is that she misread the bet, tried to call the small bet, and then when she saw how much it was, wanted to fold.
And nearly took you down.
Well, I mean, you know, she took as much as she could.
Yeah.
I think what happened is because I hadn't said anything, I mean, I was trying to make up my mind whether I wanted to say anything or not about the fact that the $1,500 had to stay in the pot. And I think she saw that silence and took it as a sign of weakness that I was hoping she would fold.
Mm.
Therefore, she decided that her hand, which... You know, we now know only had three outs to win, you know, actually was the favorite. I mean, she did have top pair and a weak flush draw and a gut shot straight draw. But it turned out I had top pair with a bigger kicker and a better flush draw. So.
And the bottom line is you have her money, and she's probably gone now.
No, she's actually going to be at my table on day two.
Oh.
We happened to draw the same table. She's just like today or just like yesterday. She's two seats to my left and will be on day two until one of us goes broke or until the our table is broken and we're moved to new seats.
You know, we were talking about some of the celebrities who were out there before. I heard that James Garner, acting legend James Garner, the man who played Maverick on TV for all those years and was in the Mel Gibson movie Maverick with him as his dad, that he was out there on day one as kind of the host to tell people to shuffle up and deal and then actually sat down and played for a while. Did you get a chance to run into him at all?
No, I did not, and I'd love to because I always, you know, loved the Maverick TV show. I loved the Maverick movie. I loved the Rockford Files. I used to love watching the Rockford Files when I'd get home from school as a kid.
Yeah.
Do the reruns in the afternoon.
Well, he's been eliminated, so you won't be facing him at the tables anymore, unfortunately. But
well, that's a shame. It would have been fun to play with him, but, you know, maybe I'll get a chance to meet him. It's one of the nice little perks of, you know, getting all this TV coverage and becoming kind of a, you know, mini celebrity that, you know, these people just kind of walk up and say hi sometimes.
Pretty cool. What are you doing with your day off today and tomorrow?
I haven't decided yet what I'm doing today. As you guessed, I didn't wake up very long ago.
Yeah.
My family has all got tickets to see the Phantom of the Opera show at the Venetian, and I had told them a couple days ago I wasn't really interested. So I'm not sure what I'm going to do while they watch.
Will you be sitting in your room playing on Poker Stars, or are you trying to keep the poker just to the tournament?
I probably won't because I've been here now for the entire World Series since late June.
Oh, you have?
Playing every single tournament.
Wow. How you been doing?
I've been getting my butt kicked in every tournament.
Oh, no.
I cashed in the first event, got a lot of good press coverage from that because at that point in time, I was the only person to have cashed in every live open tournament ever held with over 2,000 players. But then I failed to cash in the next 2,000-player tournament and the next one and the next one. So I went from 5 out of 5 to 5 out of 8, so it's kind of a non-story now.
Yeah.
But after that first event, which I took a bad beat and finished in the 63rd place, I think, I basically was bad beat out of every tournament for the entire, you know, 5 weeks. Finally, the last event we had before the main event, it's a very obscure game. Most people, even who play poker, have not heard of it. It's called Deuce to Seven No Limit Lowball.
Okay.
And that was kind of always considered the event for professionals. It was always a small field of the very best players.
Yeah.
And I made the final table in that event, finished 5th, and that got me out of the hole. So now I'm going to go home a winner for the series no matter what.
Well, good. Well, I hope you don't take any bad beats in the next week. I hope you get a couple of days to rest up, and then you're right back in there with the action. And after you win this whole thing and, you know, go down in the record books as the biggest money winner of all time in poker, what is it going to be, 10 mil this year?
Yeah, I think, I don't know if they've actually announced it, but $10 million is certainly the likely guess.
Well, you won $5 million a couple years ago. Joseph Hashem won $7.5 million last year. It's got to be a $10 million top prize this year. Good luck in the next week or so, and thanks for taking the time. I appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure. Glad to be here. Anytime, you know, we can set it up, I'll be happy to visit with you.
Thank you so much. Greg Fosselman Raymer, live from the World Series of Poker, where he's currently 35th out of 8,500 people in there. He is in 35th place
Not
in
bad.
The chip count. And day 4 is just underway out there at the Rio in Las Vegas. This is the Paul Harris Show on News Talk 1120 KMOX.